Well, as you know, we come through this past week of the solemnity of Corpus Christi, and many parts of our diocese with the new calendar, it's celebrated on Sunday today. If I could inject a little truth serum into everyone here, most of us would admit at one time or another, well, we've had a little trouble believing in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, really, truly, and substantially present. We kind of believe, and yet, because of the way the Lord is hidden under the species, well, let's admit it, it can be hard once in a while, right? That's the challenge for us. Now, I found that the more I try to intellectualize my approach to the Lord of the Eucharist, I seem to fail. It doesn't mean that I shouldn't understand everything theologically about it and have a proper intellectual disposition. But the more I rely solely on my intellect to make that approach to the Lord in the Eucharist, it just kind of fails. It never quite grabs, if you know what I mean. And as I reflect on it, the Lord does not want to be controlled. He makes us approach Him relationally. If we approach Him just in an intellectual way to contain Him and control Him, we'll always lose. It is very magnificent that He puts Himself under the species of bread, under the species of wine. He comes to us in humility, but He does not come to be controlled. He comes in a way that makes us come to Him relationally, with humility. And I admit the best moments I have in front of the Blessed Sacrament is when I just kind of throw myself in front of Him, realizing all my sinfulness, not to try to encapsulate Him, but just come before Him in all of my sinfulness. That is when I have the best experience with Him. This wanting to control Him, we see it in the gospel today. Those that were invited to come but had to maintain control of their lives, got to test out those oxen, getting married, got to check out the farm. Lord, You come along with me according to my dictates. Then maybe I will see You. No, we must come on His terms, to His banquet on His terms. Now, I've had the experience of three Eucharistic miracles. I haven't been there in the moment, but rather I've visited sites where there had been a Eucharistic miracle. So if I think of them, Orvieto in Italy, Santarém or Santarém in Portugal, on the way to Fatima, and Assisi. Now, two of those, well, especially Santarém, involved the Eucharist turning to flesh, to heart muscle. And so you could visit the kind of the reliquary, if that's the right term, to see that in Santarém. But I found, in some way, the greatest miracle to see was in Assisi. And in that, I'm sorry, Siena. In Siena, where, when I was Assisi, in there, the Eucharist, which was consecrated before the country, our country, was born, those hosts miraculously are preserved. So they were consecrated, I won't go into the details but with the story, but they were consecrated before our country, before 1776, and they just simply don't decay. And so you can take a trip, and I did this with Juan Landa of Matre Dei Tours. We went in, and I was able to bless do benediction and bless the pilgrims with these hosts that are in a kind of reliquarial, these hosts. And I remember holding it up, and I could see very closely the iron marks when they made the hosts, and the dirt, because they're so old, the dirt that kind of lined the iron marks. And it's quite amazing that they're that old, and the popes come up, apparently each pope comes up and consumes one of the hosts during his pontificate, and they always say they're as fresh as the new host at St. Peter's. And so, you know, you can imagine over the years they've tested this, they got those hosts and they put some unconsecrated hosts there, and the unconsecrated hosts decay, these remain, and 50, 100, 150, 200 years, and so on and so forth, so they're miraculously preserved. Now, why do I find that miracle more profound from a psychological standpoint? Well, I suppose when the Eucharist turns to heart muscle, that's merely the accidents keeping up with the substance, if you know the philosophy. It would make sense that that would happen because of the underlying substance of Christ there, that the accidents in this miracle would turn that way. But it seems almost a greater miracle in a technical sense is that our Lord preserves those hosts that I described over the course of 200, 250 years in a way where the accidents do not conform to the substance but are more greatly preserved. Thursday was the feast of Corpus Christi, according to the traditional calendar. I was at the Right to Life rally, the Wisconsin Right to Life rally, at the Capitol, because there were four bills that were passed that would ultimately go before Governor Evers, in which he vetoed them. Four bills that were very pro-life in various ways. What I was struck with was the power of the human fallen human person to disbelieve what is in front of them. And I stated for this reason. I gave the invocation prayer at the beginning. Then I circled around the center of the Capitol and was able to see the speakers from the vantage point of the audience. And up in the balcony were a number of abortion supporters who were protesting and trying to make their claim. And then at the speaker platform, as we went through the various talks, Melissa Oden, who maybe you've heard me talk of her before, an abortion survivor, infant abortion survivor in the 1970s, and Claire, I forget her last name, a second abortion survivor, spoke. The power of those abortion supporters to fail to recognize the obvious when Melissa and Claire spoke. These are people who survived an abortion. What do you say? What do you think? What do you do if you're an abortion supporter looking down upon someone who survived what you claim is a right? How do you make sense of that? What would you say to Melissa and Claire? I don't believe you. I don't want to believe you. It's obvious you're born, but I can't accept it. What would they say? The power to disbelieve the obvious. In a way, in the Eucharist, we all suffer from that. We've had centuries of Eucharistic miracles, and yet we fail in some ways to believe the obvious. As we celebrate the Eucharist today, we pray for those who support abortion, for abortionists, those in political office who support it. May they remember well the words of the first letter of St. John, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in himself." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.